How's the memory verses going? Are we working on them? Linda said she's working on her memory verse this morning. She's got quite a few of them memorized. I'd ask you to stand up and shoot one off, but I won't do that to you. I've been working on them as well. So again, it's what we talked about the first week. The key to this is memorization and internalization. Putting it in our heart and living it. That's the key to this whole class and our whole life. We want people to see that we are living what we preach. Am I right? And that's going to be key. We're going to start in chapter 4 today. And we're probably just going to make it through chapter 4 today. I'm kind of slowing it up a little bit. I think we were kind of rushing last week. How many have at least read their book through chapter 4? Oh, wow. Good deal. It's great. But the key is, if you don't read the book, you're going to be lost. And you're going to sit in the class going, this is the worst class I've ever been in. This is boring. Ron's horrible. We need to get rid of him. We need to get Kurt back up here or get Ed or somebody else up here. Let's replace him. But the key is reading, because you won't know what we're talking about then if you don't. So.
Now, real quick, on chapter 3, did we hit last week on the whole baptism thing and being saved? And did we go over much of that?
Yeah, we went over we finished chapter 3 last week. But again, you guys got shorted. You probably, I wasn't feeling so well. We kind of skimmed through it pretty quick, so I apologize. But we can go back and review and some of that if you want. We can even.
I guess the only thing I would like to review over a little bit is,
okay.
You know, the definitely being saved in the baptism thing. You know, that was
okay.
That was really kind of, I don't know, a point in people's lives where you feel that you're misguided, and you know, a lot of people are that way. You know, I was even told that when I was 19, you know, that you say this prayer, you do this, and you're saved.
And actually, we're going to talk about some of that today in this next chapter, so we may cover some of that as well. So
yeah, because I kind of like it kind of hit home. He was talking about all that.
Okay. All right. Now, I came from a Baptist background, so I know exactly what he's saying as far as say the sinner's prayer. You know, we don't read that anywhere in Scripture. Unless somebody can show it to me in Scripture, I just don't see it. I was told that as well. I was told, accept him in your heart. I was told that as well. We just, again, it goes back, where is it scripturally? So, go ahead, Debbie.
Well, and I guess I cheated because I read the whole book already.
No, that's fine. We want you to read the whole book.
For those of you that are concerned that we didn't talk much about it yet, that's kind of what's the neat continuing thread.
That's
he keeps bringing it back to that. So the discussion isn't over at all.
Yeah, we're just beginning, trust me. So, yeah, we'll get into it deeper here. So, chapter 4, let's start at chapter 4, and if we have more at the end or later, we can discuss that later. Real quick, on your 10 people, have you guys written down 10 people that we need to pray for, that are in your circle of influence? Have you done that? I'm not seeing many yeses.
Mm-hmm. I just did it.
You just did it? Yeah, you did. I saw you writing something down there.
Could we start with, say, 2?
You can start with 2. Well, you know what? Here's the thing is that even if it's 2, it's better than none. Is that right? We'll just go that way. How's that sound? And start working on that. But the key is pray for these people and pray for an opportunity to share something with them, like what Randall did with Mike.
Can I make a note on that?
Yes.
I just thought it was interesting. There's a lady that I grew up with in the church that I grew up with, grew up in out in Oregon. And I thought it was kind of interesting. A few years ago, she had told my mom thought it was really neat how she would pray for her. And I think it was my mom was going through surgery or something like that. But she's like, okay. And she says, you're my Tuesday. And what she does is she has a few people scheduled in her mind, and they each have their own day of the week. and that's her way of keeping it all organized and to pray for everybody in her circle. And I always just thought that was kind of
so
neat.
On Tuesday she prayed for that gal?
Yeah,
so
but she had
Tuesday?
She had somebody for a few people for every day.
Oh, okay.
She regularly
there you
did.
Go. Good. Okay. This week, write on your card. This is 1 Peter 3:21. 1 Peter 3:21. Write this on your card. And Colossians 2, I'll slow down a little bit so you guys can catch up. 1 Peter 3:21. And Colossians 2, 11 through 13. Start working on these as well. You're going to get bombarded with them to memorize, so.
Are you saying we're going to memorize Colossians 3, 11 to whatever?
No, Colossians 2.
Yeah.
Chapter 2, 11 through 13.
Oh, okay.
What
you assigned two memory verses.
Two memory verses this week. I know. I know.
We were just talking about how us old people last night at the game night, how us old people can't remember stuff.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I am younger, but I can't remember. First Peter 3:21. Can anybody do it real quick off the top of your head? Kurt, I know Kurt can. Go ahead.
Present does now also save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but as an answer of a good conscience towards God.
There you go. You know, if I had a prize, I'd throw it out to you right now. If I had some candy or something. That's what I do with a teenager sometimes. Or I'll give them a little star on the board right next to the name. So we have fun with that. So. There you go. There you throw them. Okay, let's go to the discussion questions for chapter 4. And again, there's no time limit. Just throw in your 2 cents, and we'll just keep things going. How did Mike become a Baptist? Do you guys remember chapter 4? How did he become a Baptist?
Something with his dad.
It was the neighbor lady. Remember that? And he wasn't raised.
He was 5.
Pardon me?
He was 5.
Okay, her name was Eula, the neighbor lady, and she came over and, actually, no, he was 8, wasn't he 8 years old?
No, 8 was when he was 6.
Well, did he start at 5? He was, he said the sinner's prayer at 8, that's what it was. So he was 5 years old, and the neighbor lady invited him over, because he was raised with parents never went anywhere. So she went with him there as well. Now, here's where we're getting into some of the stuff that Alan was talking about. What are the differences in once saved, always saved, versus be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life? What are the differences there?
One, I think you're actually practicing your faith or practicing the gospel in everyday life and actually digging in and having that relationship. And I think the other one is more of a kind of relaxation, like, okay, I've already said the prayer, I've done my baptism, you know, I'll live as good as I can, but if I do something wrong, it's okay because I'm saved. That's
okay.
How I look at it.
Okay. Dave?
I think sometimes people that have that thought process of once saved, you know, I've paid my dues, now I can live however I want to without thought of whether it's good or bad. Because I'm covered, as opposed to living faithfully, trying to walk in the light.
Okay.
You know, making an effort to be, follow God in every aspect of life.
Okay. What was it you said the first time? I'm sorry, I don't mean to put
That's
you on the
okay.
spot. Say that. Say that again. What you said in the beginning, because it.
Well, actually, to practice the gospel, to practice your faith, to actually work on and get that relationship with Jesus,
okay.
I think.
Okay. So it's something that we're always, it's not something, it's something we kind of have to work at a little bit. It's just not something that's real easy. And that, I heard this once. It was, I think I've mentioned this before. Do you guys remember Jesse Ventura? Mm-hmm. He was a wrestler. He was the WWF wrestler back in the big guy. And he became governor of Minnesota, I believe it was Minnesota. And he had said, and I've mentioned this before, that Christianity is for the weak-minded. You ever remember him saying that? Christianity is for the weak-minded. Well, let me tell you, Christianity is not for the weak-minded. It's pretty easy just to let your mind go where you want it to go. Kurt's been preaching about that on Sundays. Let your mind just kind of go where you want it to go. But how hard is it? There's times to stop and discipline yourself and think about, I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to say that word. I'm not going to think this thought. Is that for a weak-minded person? That takes some strength. A lot of mental strength. So it's something that we're constantly working at. It's not something, like Dave said, where we put our dues and now we can just kind of sit back and go with it.
Ron, so. I think the difference isn't in that we're doing what we do in order to work toward the salvation, but that we're really grateful that we have it. And we understand that it's dependent upon our continued faith,
yeah,
not necessarily our continued works.
Okay. That's a good point. I've said this before, too. We do this because of what was done for us. Is that right? We come here on Sunday mornings not because we got to check in on the time clock. God's going to put a little mark up there by my name because I made it on Sunday, March 1st, today, the 20th, the 21st. Ron, he made it that day. He's going to get a little extra crown in his, or a little stone in his crown. It doesn't work that way. It was done because we do this because of what was done for us. That's why we're here. Any other comments? First.
When you follow the idea that once saved, always saved, you take the if out of 1 John 1:7,
okay,
which says, if we walk in the light.
There you go. They're a very good point.
I've heard it also said, if they're going to make the argument, once saved, always saved, well, what about the flip side of that? Once lost, always lost.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, yeah, it's the same argument.
Okay. Kelly.
I think it's the difference between like public property and private property. You know, if we have public property, we have no responsibility. It's not ours. It's not anyone's. No one takes care of it, you know. Whereas in private property, it's mine and I'm going to take care of it. If I'm always saved, what's the use of nurturing it? What's the use of taking care of it? I've got it. It's always going to be there. Somebody else will take care of it. But when there's some accountability on me, I have to take ownership of it. I have to do something with it.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing about the once saved, always saved. See, I've heard this since I was raised Baptist. I was heard that once you're saved, you're always saved. I was raised that way. And that the other part to it was, once you're God's and you're saved, there's nothing you can do to fall out of it. He won't let you go. He'll hold on to you. I've been told that. And, I don't want to stand here and sound like I'm bashing the Baptists, because there's some very good people in the Baptist church. I have friends and family that are Baptists. But it's Satan at work. It's Satan at work. If he can just twist it a little bit and make you think it's okay, then we can live our life however we feel like.
So, kind of the ultimate deception.
It's a total deception.
Well, and that's what he was getting at, you know, is the main reason why, if you ask somebody, the number one answer why you were saved is because I don't want to go to hell. Okay. And he talks about that, you know, and so many people lose that. I think we're all guilty of it, mm-hmm, you know, and that's why I think that, you know, him being saved at 8, you know, then baptized at 13, even at those ages, you don't even, you know, and I don't, that's a struggle that I'm having with my kids right now, is when do, you know, when do I allow them to, because there's so much of a difference,
yeah,
in time and mind and what goes on and what you go through.
We've thought the same thing. We've thought the same thing. We're in that same situation. We have two young kids, and, you know, with our daughter, it's talked about a lot more, and we think she's there closer, but we have to, you know, where do you say you need to do it, or then you feel like you're pushing them into it. You don't want to do that. So.
Well, you don't, because I struggled with it. You know, like, yeah, I said, being told saved at, you know, 19 and this, that, and the other, you know, and wanted to feel right about doing it. And it was, you know, when I was 24 right here that, you know, it was finally like, okay, this is, you know, this feels right. This, I actually feel like I have the accountability. I know that this is the right thing to do, the right way.
Okay. Jesus said this. He said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2:10. Be faithful. He was speaking to the church in Smyrna when he said that. So obviously, we have to be faithful unto death. We just can't do whatever we feel like. We all know that. I mean, that's something that we have to be able to get to others as well. Elaine.
So I have a question going back to the, I think it's a big deal, what we were just talking about, the whole falling from grace, because that's a huge, when you talk to someone who's grown up in a different denomination, or even a community church, that's a huge point of discussion when talking about
real big, I know.
So my question is, how do we, can we answer the other side of that? How do we fall from God's grace? Because I think that's going to answer the question for me a little bit more. Because going back to what Kelly said, it's really a very, very fine line of grace covering all of your sins and you know, knowing you're covered by grace and a works-based salvation.
So your question would be, when do we fall from grace?
Yeah,
when does somebody fall from grace? Boy, I wouldn't be the one to, I can't be the one to say when somebody falls from grace, because I'm not God. But the question would have to be to that individual, are you living a faithful life to God? Are you doing things that are acceptable to God in your life? If you stop and you think, hey, I'm not doing it, that person's not doing it, then you got to start to question, is it right or is it wrong what you're doing? I mean, am I way off here?
Well, no, because I think it can happen several times in your life.
Well, there's a difference between sinning and there's a difference between falling from grace.
Yeah.
I mean, we all sin all the time throughout our lives. But there's a difference between living in that sin and sinning. Somebody else had their hand. Ed, was it you or Kurt?
Oh, I know, and it is a hard topic to get your finger around, but in Galatians, Paul will bring out the very idea where, and I'm not there right now, but he says that when you seek to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
Okay.
So if you think you're getting there independent of Jesus, it's your work and your merit and your ability.
Yeah, you'll never get there.
You won't get there. You fall from grace. And people say, well, but you're fallen from grace. You can't fall out of a tree that you're not in. I mean, you're in the tree, you fall out of it. You're in grace, you fall out of grace. If you think you're justified by law, by works of law, by my own merit, we fall from grace.
Okay. Kelly.
Hebrews 6:4, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because of their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace.
Okay.
I don't think that we talk too much about how to fall from grace, and we don't talk enough about how big it is. It is humongous. And I live in sin every day.
Yeah.
I live in it. I will, whatever, yell at my kids. Is that a sin? I do it tomorrow.
No, it's not.
And I'm going to do it the next
day. I
yell
at mine, isn't it?
You know what I mean? I don't know, the living in sin thing, it really bothers me, because when I look at my own life, I have a couple things that continually pop up. And if I were honest, I am living in that. And every day I repent, and man, every day, maybe every other day, oh, I'm sucked right back into it. Isn't that the same as the person who we say is living in, you know, drunkenness or whatever? Man, they want to do the right thing, and then they have another drink, and oh, so, you know, we're so quick to say, oh man, they're living in sin. So am I.
Okay.
I think it's, grace is a great, big, huge thing, and you can lose it, but I don't know.
Okay.
Obviously, you can lose it from Hebrews,
yep.
James, and Galatians.
Yeah, but and even Jesus spoke about the parable of the vines and the branches. We see that in there. Okay, I got Ed, and then I'm going to go all the way back to Emma. Do you have your? Okay, no.
There's a couple of things. As far as falling from grace, Paul, again, will make the admonition in 1 Corinthians 10 to take heed lest you fall. So there is an understanding that there can be a fall. Once again, you know, take heed to what? You know, so that's where you'd have to go with that. Kelly mentioned James. James would point out there is faith in works. You know, there is a way that one has to live. He says, you know, you say you're saved by your faith. Show me your works. I can show you my faith by my works. So there is a life that is exhibited.
Yeah. So again, it goes back to be faithful unto death. And there's a... The faith all comes in with being the faithful. Go ahead. Did somebody else? Was that you? Did you see a hand?
You said somebody back there.
Oh, okay. Anything else?
But I do have comments.
Go ahead.
So, I'm building on what Kelly said. I think one of the things that we all do, and if we ever stop worrying about falling from grace, then we have real problems. I think that's the biggest part. But I think part of it is, you know, the attitude that he mentioned in the book about how, you know, he was saved now, so he went ahead and did whatever he pleased. And he was real proud of it. He, you know, tried some marijuana, did this, did that, whatever, you know. All those things, you know. Does doing any one of those things make you fall from grace? No. But the question is more, what are we presenting? You know, it isn't about each moment of your life. You know, if you get struck down by a truck tomorrow, you know, what happened 5 minutes before, that's not going to take you out, okay? It's not going to take you out of the game. But what are we presenting to others? If what we're supposed to be doing is living a life that is Christ-like and showing people what we enjoy in the grace of the Lord and our joy of it, then what are we doing when we're doing those other things? We're not sharing that, you know?
Yeah.
Does that take you out of the game?
What we're doing is we're showing others that drinking or getting high is more important than Christ. That's where we get our excitement and our fulfillment out of life. Instead of opposite, where Christ should be on top.
That's not what the plan was for. And I think what we're, you know, we worry a lot more about the proverbial, you know, at the moment she died, was she in Christ? You know, I don't think it's that moment. I think it's that life. And I think we have to be more concerned. I think we should be more concerned about what life we're presenting to others than what little details we do, you know, in our own room, having a bad thought or whatever. I think we beat ourselves up too much on that stuff and not on the good stuff.
Okay. So the question for all of us, you know, are we being faithful until death? We have to ask ourselves that question. Are we being faithful unto death? It goes back to what, if we want to teach others and we want others to see the need for Christ, the way of salvation, they're going to see it through us. And are we showing that to them? It starts with us.
But at the same time, too, until you can learn to teach others, you know, you always want to say lead by example, but if you still speak to others, it goes back to, you know, I didn't know you were part of a church. I didn't know you were a Christian. You know, people you walk around every day have been around 10, 15 years. You know, if you don't know how to go about that or really preach to somebody, but people ask how you're doing in life and things are great, well, how is that? Why is that? Well, you know, it's, you know, due to that guy. It's, you know, it's due to God. It's due to Jesus and so forth. Even presenting that and letting somebody know that, and like you said last week, if you don't have the answer to something, explain to somebody, let me get back to you, or let me get you to somebody who can.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Question to us, again, and I threw these in, just being to church on Sunday mornings, does that mean that we're faithful? Just coming to church on Sunday. Is it part of it? Sure, it's part of it. I'm not saying it's not. What is our life like outside those four walls? That's a question to all of us. You don't have to answer. What do people see us like? Do they see us like Randall? Remember how he's happy? Go ahead.
Well, I think we have to be careful about realizing that it's not about what people see us on the outside like. It's what is your heart like?
Yeah, what I meant was on the outside of the four walls. When we leave this building.
No, I know. But I mean, it's easy to, you know, judge someone by the external circumstances or their Facebook posts or what they do.
Yeah.
You know, for everyone to see, and they could have a very different heart. And so it's, I think we have to be really careful about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have a guy like Randall at work.
Yeah. Wouldn't you all like to work with somebody like Randall?
Yeah.
Be around a guy that's.
Wouldn't you all like to be somebody like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're it just seems like we're so bombarded by negativity all the time, and it just brings us down. And that's part of the spiritual struggle we're going to deal with as a Christian, is constant good against evil. But putting somebody like Randall around you, but again, we have to surround ourselves with people like this. That's why it's important to be here. That's why it's important to be at church. It's important to make your friends here, spend time together. Get rid of the worldly people when you surround yourself. Study with them. Try to teach them. But be careful who you hang with. That was my biggest problem when I was first converted. Was I still wanted to hang with my old buddies. And it didn't work. Didn't work. Go ahead.
So sometimes we may be having a serious sin issue in our lives. And we may feel like we shouldn't be here. But this is exactly where we should be. To help us get back to where we need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, all of us have struggled with that. And every one of us have probably in our life, at one time or another, things are tough at work or at home or wherever it is. And sometimes the last place you really want to go sometimes is be around a bunch of people. You want to be left alone, leave me alone, don't talk to me. But that's why we're all here, to encourage one another. And so, any more comments on that?
That's why I like to sit in front.
Sit behind. We appreciate you, Alan. See, I mean, right here is a good example. He moves all the way to the front, so he can be right here and hear all that's going on. So, okay, we better keep rolling here. It's already after 10. Okay. Question number 3. What made Mike think he was a good guy? What made Mike think he was a good guy? Do you guys remember that?
Because he hadn't done anything awful.
Okay, hadn't done anything awful. I wrote down a few things he said. He says he went to church once in a while. Didn't kill anybody. Well, that's good. I mean, I hope not anyway. I hope nobody in here killed anybody. I haven't yet. Or I'm not. Or not yet. Sorry. I got a couple kids. So. Did not rape anybody, he said. Never stole anything. Did not do any serious drugs. I like how he put, did not do any serious drugs. that's funny. Obeyed the law. We all obey the law for the most part. Darren's here, so we got to make sure we say we obey the law. We worked hard. He worked hard. Paid his taxes. Oh, I don't like paying taxes. Took care of my wife. That's what he said. Gave a little to, this is a good one. Even gave a little to TV telethons every now and then.
Yeah.
Remember the Jerry Lewis telethons? There's a few of those out there still. Even gave a dollar to a homeless guy around Music Row that hung downtown Nashville. He gave him a dollar or two every now and then. So that's what made Mike think he was a good guy. And I'm sure he was a good guy. We know a lot of good people out there. I know a lot of good people. The question is, are they in a saved state? We can be good, good, good people, but are we, or they, in a saved state? We have to remember that.
I think that's a great place to start, though. I mean, you do those things and continue to build on your faith. That's he talks bad about himself for, and I think that was a good place for him to start, and then Randall was put in his life at the right time.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that says he knew what was right and wrong. You know?
Yeah, he knew right from most people know right from wrong. But a lot, like, again, you know, it goes back on, have you been in contact with the blood? And we're going to go more into that here in just a bit. I wanted to read something here. Let's do number four here. What different course did Randall take after Mike canceled the Bible study appointment? You remember when Mike said, I can't make it that day, and Randall took a different approach into it? You remember that? What did he do?
Give him some Bible verses, right?
Yeah. Gave him one Bible verse on a little piece of paper. He scratched it in there. Does anybody remember what it was?
1 Peter 3:21.
It was what Virgil just quoted. Quote that, Virgil. 1 Peter 3:21. This is what Mike gave, or Randall gave Mike. This is the verse.
Well, wherein Noah and his three sons were saved by water in baptism, the like figure, even so water does now also save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. I missed one word. Even so, baptism
now
does
saves
now
you.
Also yeah. save us.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the verse that Randall slipped into him and said, here, take this. You know, the thing is that Randall was actually pretty good at that. He was pretty sly at that. But he gave him something for him to think about. And let me read something here to you real quick out of the book. He says, do you remember the part where they had the big meeting, the CEO called everybody in on the meeting, and they were wondering what was going on, and the CEO says, from this point on, I'm going to hand the business down to my son. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And everybody was, it was like the CEO just said, we're closing the doors. Everybody's like, oh, no. And the son gets it. Great. And I guess the son was kind of, he called him spoiled. He had the BMW he drove around and the golf clubs in the back of the car. So everybody was kind of like, oh, great. This is what we're going to have to deal with. But after that had happened, immediately after that happened, listen what happens here with Randall. He says, hey, Mike, or Shank, he called him. Hey, Mike, wait up. He said with his chipper way. Hi, Randall, what's going on? I replied. I want to ask you something. Randall said as he slid alongside, do you have to be baptized to be saved? Randall asked him. I mean, here he just went through all of this with the CEO stepping down and giving it to his son, and so now we know what his mindset is. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? And Mike says, of course not, I said without any pause. Then he handed me a small torn piece of yellow notebook paper, and the verse that was scribbled on it was 1 Peter 3:21. And he said, check this out, man. I'll catch up with you later. And then Randall went off. So you can see that where Randall's heart was and where his focus was. Even though something big had just happened, Randall was still thinking of what?
Jesus.
He was thinking of Jesus, but he was also thinking about what is it that I need to do to help others, to save others. What does that say about Randall's heart? Right where it should be.
It didn't fill his ears.
I guess my question too is to you guys is, how would you feel in that situation if you worked for this big corporation or the CEO walked in and all this had happened and big changes are about to take place? Would your mind be thinking that way? I'd be thinking, man, I'm not really having to start looking for another job. I'd be thinking the worldly end of it.
But he had peace, which is where we should all strive to be.
There's the point. Randall has peace within him. That's where we need to be. And so others can see that as well. Okay, keep on rolling here. I got just a few minutes. Number five, question five. Larry, Mike's best friend, had started carrying a Bible. Do you know why? Do you remember why Larry started carrying that Bible? Dave.
Because he was also studying with Randall separately.
Yeah. Later on, you'll find out that Larry was studying with Randall later on down the line. So, and then verse six, or number six was, which verse did he pass off? What did the verse do to Mike? Do you remember what the verse did to Mike after he had read it?
Kind of stirred the whole, well, go ahead.
Nope, go for
okay,
it.
It kind of started him on a little. He started really kind of questioning everything.
It started curiosity, didn't it? Started curiosity.
From 8 to 3.
Coming from the Baptist background, I came from that. when my wife was studying with me, at the time my fiance was studying with me, and her grandparents, when the whole thing of baptism came up, that after hearing all my life, accept him in your heart, say the sinner's prayer, that kind of stuff, it will stir up the emotions or whatever, your curiosity within you. It did for me. That's what made me look into it. Will that do it to everybody? Probably not.
I think the people that seek God, truly seek God, will be stirred. I mean, that's the other piece of the equation is, you know, it's just like the soils. Not all the soils are accepting of God's word. The people that truly seek the Lord are already in there looking somehow.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you know, I mean, at first he was kind of angry and was like, no, that's not right. Let's go talk to the teacher. You know, and I think there are people that would go, whatever. I think the heart has to be right.
Okay. Yeah. What I caught off that too is Randall approached Larry, you know, differently. Obviously, you can tell if Larry's going to be part of it later on, studying with Randall. And Mike asked Larry, have you seen this verse before?
Yeah.
And he didn't, you know, obviously Randall went a different way with Larry than what he's going with Mike.
Yeah, and I'm just going to read that right now because we got, okay. So at this point, so he gets the verse, right? And he throws it in the dash, throws this little piece of paper on the dash. He's cruising around doing his job that day, and he picks this piece of paper up. He doesn't have a Bible with him, but his buddy Larry has his Bible, and he says, hey, Larry, what's this say? Let me see your Bible. He reads it. And he says, Larry, look at this. I said, handing the Bible back to him while pointing at verse 21 with my index finger. Have you ever seen this verse? He read it quietly to himself. No, I guess I haven't, but it's faith that saves us, isn't it? Well, yeah, of course. Baptism is some kind of work. Hey, I'm going to ask my pastor about this verse, I'll get back to you. Thanks, Larry. See you later. They go on their separate ways, and at the end he says, this verse required a religious expert. I thought that was kind of funny that he mentioned that. When sometimes, you know, some things are so simple, and it, you know, and yet we continue. No, I'm not saying everything's easy to understand, but there are some things that are pretty simple to understand. I just caught it kind of funny. So.
Isn't that the way a lot of denominations keep people there? By claiming that they're the experts and you can listen to them?
Yeah. That can be an issue sometimes. They put the preacher or the pastor on the pedestal. He's got it all figured out. I know we Kurt.
Well, and that's what stirred Mike away from doing the study with Randall was the other guy, I can't remember his name, telling him that, you know, his religion, his church is the ones that are the only ones that believe that they're going to heaven.
Yeah.
And he's like,
Yeah. He mentioned stay away from that guy. They're the only ones going to heaven. Yeah. We are running out of time, so it's what time do we quit usually? Is it now? 10:15. We'll just have to pick up next week. Is there any more comments? Good discussion. We have a big class today. Got a lot in here today. Thanks for coming. I figured after last week, everybody would skip out today.
You're giving a good class.
Thanks, John.